Turn in the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. I'd like to speak concerning the law of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, concerning the law of the Spirit. If you will notice in the book of Romans, as Paul writes to the church of Rome, in the 6th chapter, the word sin occurs 17 times. So this is certainly then an essay or a dissertation on sin. In the 7th chapter, the word law occurs 22 times. So the 7th chapter then is a study from the Word of God on the law. Then in the 8th chapter, the word spirit occurs 21 times. So there is a progression of thought. We go from sin to the law, to the Spirit. So the 8th chapter is a great chapter on the Holy Spirit. Many times when people think of the Holy Spirit, the study of the Holy Spirit, they think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 being great regulatory and information chapters of the Holy Spirit. This 8th chapter of Romans is a very well-known chapter in the Bible. Sometimes is not thought of as a study on the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let us bow our heads again for prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for this house. I do not know the history of this church and this house of God. The ones that first came to pioneer this fellowship died a full gospel work of this city. But I do know that it did not come this far without prayer, fasting, and tears, without hard work, without calluses upon the hands. I pray, O God, may angels and demons witness my prayer. I pray that the great days will be ahead if we have any more time to serve thee. May the future glory of this church and this spiritual family surpass the splendid times in the past. We have come this far by faith. We can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Send a revival. Move upon the hearts of people. Search through this city and the area about it. Find those that are in the divorce court, desperate, brokenhearted. For you said you came to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captive free. Oh God, out of the broken splinters of their life, the broken pieces of their life, build again something beautiful from the brokenhearted. For you alone can bind up. Search and find them in the jails and in the taverns and in the hell homes. Those without purpose, those walking in the black night of unbelief, those bogged down in despair. Bring them into your house and into your spiritual family. Oh God, bless us all as we bind our hearts together in unison to pray and set aside time for revival and to study your word. Bless now the word to your heart, to the heart of each one, your word, from the heart of God to the heart of man. Quicken my mind and lips to preach. We'll give you all the glory for all that is done and take none of it to ourselves. As I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Many times people are highly superstitious about the Spirit. In the Gospel of John, we hear that the Spirit bloweth where it listeth. And like the wind, it's like the wind that bloweth where it listeth, and we hear the sound thereof, but we don't know from where it came or where it is going. So is he that is born of the Spirit. From this, some people conclude that there is a whimsical nature about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that you can never anticipate what he will do. You cannot subject the Holy Spirit to any type of a law or principle. This, however, is not true. There are laws of the Spirit, and there are certain principles of the Spirit he will never violate. And in 1 Corinthians, he makes it very clear that no man ever would blaspheme Christ by the influence of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will never, under any situation or circumstance, influence you to do something contrary to the many, many principles of the Word of God. Now you say, well, I believe that. Many people believe it, but you would be surprised how many, many times people that have had full gospel influence will do something contrary to the Word of God and blame it on the Holy Spirit. The Lord told me to do it. The Lord spoke to my heart. I'm only acting on what the Holy Spirit said. So the Holy Spirit will never refute the word that came from his influence. Many times in marriage counseling, which I did so much during my ministry in California, people would say, well, I prayed about it, and God told me to leave my wife. But the Bible says God hateth putting away. So God would never tell you to do something he hated, you see. So I want you to look at this 8th chapter, the 8th division of Romans, and think concerning the laws and the principles of the Holy Spirit. In the former chapter, chapter 8, Paul talks about discovering with even in his own life some laws and principles of sinning and dying and consequence. Sin, death, and consequence. And he found that in his reform and attempt to do better, there was a principle of human nature. He found a tendency to be wrong instead of right. And he said, the things that I would do, I find I'm not doing those. And the things that I decided not to do, when I take inventory, I found I've done them. Do you recognize anything like that in your life? But finally, in desperation, he cried, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? So he discovered some six facts about sinning and dying. But here in the 8th chapter, he uses this phrase, and it is this phrase that has become like a prism of truth to influence my thinking concerning this entire chapter. For he uses this phrase in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit. Noah Webster says that a law is a fixed principle. It is something you can count on. It is something that behaves the same way and acts the same way all the time, if the conditions are the same. We understand law. In this frame of reference, we talk about law as we would the law of gravity. You are very familiar with the law of gravity. You become acquainted with the law of gravity. And you know that if all the circumstances are the same as usual, that the law of gravity will act the same. The influence will be the same. If you jump out a window, you will fall. If you drop the hymnal, it will fall. And if someone wouldn't believe in that law, the fact that they didn't believe in it wouldn't alter its influence. You could jump off a skyscraper and say, I don't believe in the law of gravity. And because of your stupidity, you may have a whooping time as you go down. Whee, this is living. But you see, when you hit, the consequences come. And the Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Probably the majority of all human heartaches, strife in the marriage, strife in the home, tears and remorse is caused by ignoring God's laws and principles. Now, there are good news found in this word. Notice verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when you start a spirit life, a walk after the Spirit, he has this first principle of good news for you. He's not talking about condemnation at the judgment day, for the Bible says that some men sin go before them to judgment, and some follow after. You can send up the report and get it negotiated now. You can have that taken care of and have all of that covered by the blood. But if you don't take care of it now, when you stand before God, and every eye shall behold him, every tongue shall confess him, every knee shall bow before him, then if you don't take care of it before that time, your sin will follow after you. But one of the principles and influence of sin is condemnation. There is no way you can sin and transgress God's law without having guilt. J.G. Young, the big daddy of psychology and psychiatry around the world and university campuses, came from Switzerland. He made the statement that of all of the cases he had treated in his lifetime, there was not one that would have needed treatment if they would have availed themselves of the ministry of God and the church. Now, that's quite a statement from the number one voice. And many doctors have testified that of the mental distress and mental disorder and the worry and the high blood pressure, it comes not from the physical aspect, but the moral, the mental, and emotional aspect of man. And the Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, the prophet said. Now, of condemnation, if you sin terribly in a city the size of Baker, you sin. You've been in the church, you're connected with the church, you may be beyond the church. But let's assume you're in the church, you're a Christian, and then you default morally some terrible sin. You will then experience condemnation. It's a social law. There's no way you can escape it. You will first receive the condemnation of the non-Christians. If there's anything sinners hate, it's a Christian that's a sinner. If you're going to live like them, they want you to join their club. But they despise with a passion what they would call a hypocrite. And somebody's been in the church and he falls. The whole town knows how you think you should live, and they know how they think you should live. And if you fall below that, you will get the condemnation of the world. Well, that's understandable. But I have some sad news for you. Are you listening? You still awake? You haven't gone home yet, huh? Now, it's not lunchtime. And if you can't endure my sermon, just bring a sack lunch. Because I don't want you walking out on me to eat. And so stay with me. I have sad news for you. If you sin like this, you will receive the condemnation of the church. As nice as church people are, you will not escape the fact that somebody say, well, how could you do such a thing? And somebody will project hatred and despite your ways. Third, you'll receive condemnation from the devil. He communicates with the mind. I hate him the most when he turns preacher on me. I would rather the devil would always say tempter and never turn preacher. He can quote scripture with a glib tongue, as he did to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. And the way the devil tempts you, the spirit world, and one of the laws of the spirit world, is from the spirit realm there are communications. In other words, you've seen the cartoon, a little devil on one shoulder, a little angel on the other, and the little devil is saying, do it, do it, do it, and the little angel is saying, don't do it. Well, that may be a cartoon exaggeration, but it's very close to that. You see, many people have never learned to understand the communication of the spirit world. Your mind goes like a river flowing through a riverbed, constantly, 24 hours a day, awake or asleep. You can't shut it off. If it would be shut off, you'd be dead. No, you can't even shut it off in death, for the process of the mind and the spirit goes on in eternity. And Jesus taught from the rich man and Lazarus. So you can order and control your thoughts. We can bring a topic of discussion. You start thinking about deer hunting or automobiles or dating or whatever. So we can guide our thoughts. So you're walking down the street feeling right religious, right, proper, and all at once a horrible thought, an unclean thought, or an indecent thought crosses your mind, like that. Now, a lot of people never realize that that's communication with Satan. You say, where did that come from? Did you manufacture it in your heart, or was it injected as though by a hypodermic needle into your veins and bloodstream? Can you tell when God speaks to you?